This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. In the 1940s, there were, as there are today, a lot of great art and design schools in New York City. And there were then, as there are today, a lot of young, talented artists and designers at those schools.
But in the 1940s, there was something else that some of those artists and designers had to do first.
That's our own Katie Mingle.
There was a war going on, World War II, and the army needed artists because, well, they had kind of a crazy idea.
The crazy idea was this. The United States Army would design a deception unit, a unit that would appear to the enemy to be a large armored division. Thousands of soldiers, tanks, trucks, guns. Only this unit would actually be equipped with fake tanks, fake trucks, fake guns, and manned by just a handful of soldiers.
The so-called Ghost Army would impersonate a larger armored division. Rick Beyer has a forthcoming book about all of this, and also made a film about it called The Ghost Army.
You want to make it seem like something is there that isn't there. And if you want people to do that, you're going to want artists.
The Army was interested in recruiting people with art, with an art background. We were going to do installations of sorts.
That's Jack Macy.
I was an art major, which is why during World War II, I got picked for the Ghost Army.
So young Jack is shipped off to Europe to join the camouflage unit, where he discovers that a lot of the other guys in his unit are also artists.
A good 50%, we'll say.
And one of the things all of those artists had been working on was designing fake tanks and trucks.
And so that's when I discovered my first inflatable tank.
Inflatable rubber tanks were a crucial part of the visual deception unit.
But the visual deception unit had more than just tanks.
Virtually every kind of vehicle the Army has, the Ghost Army had inflatable versions of.
This stuff was all meant to be believable from a distance, for planes flying overhead or maybe people looking through binoculars. And at a distance, the inflatables were super realistic.
The whole point of the Ghost Army was to make sure their presence was known. The Ghost Army needed to be seen and heard and perceived by the Germans as being real.
Which brings us to the deception unit that I probably would have been drafted into, sonic deception.
So they would record the sounds of tanks going down roads or the sounds of trucks of men reaching a certain point and all the men jumping out, and then be able to play them back in such a way as to make the enemy think that those things are really happening.
The speakers could project sound as far as 15 miles, and there was a huge library of sounds to choose from. For example, engines make different sounds depending on the terrain, and they had all of those different kinds of sounds.
People who heard this say that it was unbelievably eerie, that it was so realistic that you started seeing vehicles that weren't there.
The third component of the Ghost Army were the radio operators. It was well known that the Germans listened in on radio communications of Allied troops. So if the Ghost Army was trying to impersonate a real armored division, they'd have to send the right kinds of transmissions.
All of the units paid incredible attention to detail, but the radio operators had to be perfect mimics. They had to learn the exact keystrokes of an individual Morse code operator in the unit they were impersonating.
And if you don't do that, the German intercept person listening is going to think, well, wait a minute, is that really from the 4th Armored Division?
Over the course of the war, the Ghost Army lost 3 soldiers and had several dozen wounded, but overall, it was one of the safer assignments of World War II.
And the Germans never caught on to the Ghost Army.
Victory by deception. 99% Invisible was produced this week by Avery Truffleman, Katie Mingle, Sam Greenspan, and me, Roman Mars. Radio edit by Ted Muldoon.
We are a project of KALW and distributed by PRX. More at 99pi.org.